Want to
remind everybody,
next month, October, the first week in October is our anniversary meeting. So there's a October 3rd, first Thursday in October. It starts at 6 o'clock with a potluck, and the potluck will be out there. And the regular meeting starts at 7 in the same format with birthdays and a speaker. So that's the first Thursday in October. Potluck starts at 6 o'clock. It's outside first. And then we come back inside. Now, I'd like to ask Phil to come up and introduce our speaker.
Hi, I'm Phil.
Yeah.
Standing in for our speaker getter, Stephen, who couldn't be here tonight. Stephen always has a very kind and loving introduction to the speaker. And I said, well, I don't know, Christina, but what would you say? And this is what he asked me to say on this video. She has a bright and honest exuberance for recovery, and never takes anyone's love or friendship for granted. She's my Diana Ross of recovery. With that, I'm happy to introduce Christina.
Oh, that was really sweet. I would like to thank Stephen for asking me to speak. He is a character. Hi, my name is Christina. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm glad that my sponsor's here. I'm glad to see faces that I know and love. And, you know, welcome to the newcomers. When I first walked into these rooms, I was decimated. I don't think that I could take my eyes off of the floor, and I didn't really want to look at you, or I didn't want you to look at me. I needed help, and I didn't know how. You know, I was just a mess. And you know, the first year was probably one of the toughest years ever, because it was real apparent to me right from the gate that this wasn't about any of them, it was about me, you know. And it really became clear to me how much I didn't love myself, and I didn't know how to love myself, and I didn't have any clue where to begin, you know. But I can say, I'm going into my eighth year that I don't feel that way today. I can look everybody in the eye. I have a sense of peace and serenity that I really, really wanted, you know, and it's been more consistent. So I'll start with what it was like and what happened and what it's like now. I grew up in a family of alcoholics. My entire family is just full of it, literally. I'm originally from Queens, New York. I'm Puerto Rican, I'm black, at least until I did the 23andMe, and now it's just a mess. I thought I was going to be real clear about what I was, and now I have more questions, but what it is, human being. So I grew up born in New York. My mom has 8 sisters. My father was in and out of the picture. You know, both of them joined the military to kind of get out of the projects, you know, and so we moved around a lot. And, you know, I remember from a very early age seeing my mom cry, you know, and wanting to protect, you know, wanting to make her feel better. And you know, that's kind of been the call for me. It's like I from a very early age, I wanted to protect, I wanted to help, I wanted to save people. I remember my stepfather jumping forward, but he's like, you can't save everybody. And I'd be like, yes, I can, and I will. You know, if you would just listen, you know, if you would just do what I think, it would be great. We'd all be good, you know, and I'm really glad that I found these rooms. So, and now I know I can save everybody, you know. Alcoholism was very prevalent. My father would beat on my mom would beat on me. And when my father wasn't doing what my mom needed, or was it, when my father wasn't doing what my mom should be doing, he would come and visit me. You know, and I think one of the first splits for me was, you know, it's like we were also going to church at this time. You know, we go to Sunday school, and you know, I didn't understand it. It was just a lot of up and down, up and down, up and down, and I was tired. I was like, can we not do this? You know, but I did get this sense of something out there greater than myself. You know, and I remember one of the moments where I felt like a split was just like my mom walked in on my father and I one night, and then, you know, she looked at both of us, and then she just walked out of the room, you know, and it was like at that point where I just felt like I was by myself, you know, and so I got real clear that, okay, I would ask for God to keep this guy out of my room, this man, my father, you know, I'd ask for, you know, all these things, and none of it was happening, so I just really felt all by myself, you know, I felt abandoned. You know, and I think unbeknownst to myself, that's when I started to abandon my own self. You know, it's like, well, you know, she doesn't think that I'm worthy of this, and God doesn't think I'm worthy of that, you know. So I just kind of, you know, subconsciously just felt like I just wasn't worth it, you know. And so I just kind of spent a lot of my life trying to prove like I had, like I was, the space was okay for me to breathe, you know. And also growing up in alcoholism in crazy, crazy family, you know, it was just to be seen and not heard. You know, add the military to that, it was to be seen and not heard and clean the shit out of everything. You know, it was like this. So, you know, fast forward, my family eventually divorced, you know, and you know, I remember when, like, my father would cheat on my mom. He'd go to the bars and drink and whatever. And I remember one night my mom was just screaming, "I want a divorce!" You know, and you know, I'm sitting there in this, and you know, it's, I don't know what time it is, but it's late. I'm in bed and I'm crying. You know, and then, you know, my mom's like, you know, she's like, shut up or I'll give you something to cry about, you know. And it was like, you know, all these messages, like, it's not okay to feel, it's not okay to, you know, it's just not okay to be. So I kind of walked around like that. I'm the kid that would go to people's houses and I would just clean up after everything so you wouldn't see that I was there so that I might be able to come back, you know. And I also loved all of the kids that nobody loved, you know, because I felt very attached to that. And, you know, so fast forward, I'm in high school and, you know, I'm just putting myself in situations that aren't very good. You know, and it got to a place where I just didn't want to feel the way I was feeling anymore. You know, so, you know, I found a bottle of my mom's pills and I decided that I was just going to take those pills and I was just going to end it, you know, because I just felt like everybody would be better off if I was gone, you know. And I'm really grateful, that I'm still here, you know. I think one of the things that you learn if you stick around long enough is that everybody has it. That we all matter. And that we all have purpose. And we all have a reason for being here. You know, and that the space that we're in is fully ours. You know, but I didn't realize it at that point. But I'm really glad, you know, today I can say that I do. You know, so they put me in this halfway, they put me in they put me in this long-term treatment center where I found Alateen, you know. So I started going to Alateen, you know, and it gave me the courage to kind of confront my mom and her drinking, and you know, my mom had been married a very, very, very good kid, Al-Anon. He was a poor thing. God. You know, and I remember, you know, so we're all, you know, if you've ever been to treatment, they bring you all in this room, you have, you know, you're sitting with a therapist, and, you know, I had talked to my stepdad. I'm like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell my mom that she's an alcoholic, and then she's going to get help, and then everything's going to be better, you know. And I'm 15, you know. And, I mean, long story short, that did not turn out that way at all. My mom got really pissed off, and then she walked out, you know. And she refuses. I mean, she's still my qualifier. She's still active in her addiction, and I've learned to accept her as she is. I mean, there are times too that I still grieve for the mom that I always wanted but didn't get. You know, the thing that is so enamoring about alcoholics is that they're, you know, there's this charismatic, loving, compassionate, just beautiful side, you know, when they're not drinking or using, you know. So she had these moments where she was just fully present and there for me, and you know, and I would always, but it was fleeting. It was always fleeting. You know, it was just decided that I would not go home, because I thought, here's the deal. The last time my mom, like, put her hands on me, like, I got in her face, and I thought, you know, I'm going to hurt my mom, you know, and I didn't want to do that. So I went from the independent living treatment center to my own place. I shared it with some other crazy people, because what do you do when you're untreated is you just find all the other crazies and you get together and you try to fix each other, and it never works ever. So I really, you know, I did the therapy, I did all these things to try and get myself together. I left Alateen because I thought they gave me the wrong, y'all gave me the wrong information. Now my mom's like not speaking to me, and I didn't fully understand any of it at the time, you know. So I was just like, doesn't work, you know. AA doesn't work because my mom went there for 30 days and she's drinking again. None of this stuff works. So okay, you know, I did go to therapy, and that was great. You know, I was able to process a lot of stuff, but I still had this hole inside of me that was just could not be filled. You know, no matter what I did, I still, at the end of the day, it was like if you ever seen Alien, you know, this little thing, you know, the disease, you know, as I call it, was just latched onto my spine. And no matter how many times I took a chemical, you know, it would grow back, or just, you know. So so then I went to college, and, you know, because my goal was to prove again that I had value and worth and should be here. And, you know, I got this degree in journalism. Never used it, but hey, I got it. You know, because really what I wanted to do was I wanted to sing, you know. And my mom had told me at that same period, 15-ish, that only special people make it, you know, so you need to go do something else. And I listened, you know. And then when I got that degree, I was, again, I was just like, I don't want to do this. You know, it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to sing, because I remember when I was a little girl, one of the things that kept me alive is I was singing in the choir, and I watched people's faces when I would sing, and it was, you know, it made them happy. You know, it was like, I want to do this. This is good. You know, and so I graduated from college. I handed my degree to my mom, and then I moved to to LA, and then I moved to LA with my partner who did crack for a little bit, but just a little bit, and you know, used here and there, did things here and there, you know, but had it under control, you know, and you know where this is going, right? And you know, and so he came from a messed up family, I came up from a messed up family, we're like, let's do this, you know, this is going to work. And you know, we had a very, very, very crazy. It was crazy. I'm extreme. It's either all or nothing, you know. And same with him. You know, he's a Greek, so we all come from that. Opa, you know, where's the Windex? And me, I'm just like, you know. And so our families were very similar, and you know, we really tried to help each other, you know, get better, you know, and when I, you know, and his using didn't bother me at first, you know, and then, you know, because it was periodic, and you know, between my family and between him, things progressively started to get bad. And at about seven years ago, I had stopped talking to people. I had stopped getting help, because I didn't want anybody to tell me that this, you know, this man who I loved was not good for me. I didn't want you to tell me to leave him because I wasn't ready to leave him. You know, despite all of our crazy, I really did love him, and I know that he really did love me. We just had issues, you know, and nobody taught us how to be real, like, human beings. You know, it's like nobody taught us how to have a healthy dialogue. You know, it was like, I'm yelling, you know, to get my point across, and I'm going to exert myself until you listen to me because I'm right, you know. And you know, so it started to get bad, and what ended up happening is I basically kind of realized that I'm back where I was when I was a kid again. You know, I'm listening for the sound of opening cans. I'm watching to see how he walks through the door, how he closes the door, how, you know, and I'm like, I'm in this crazy with him, you know, like I see stuff and he's telling me that you didn't see that, and I'm like, but yes I did, you know. And then after a while, I mean, I don't know if you relate to this, but it's like, did I see that? Am I crazy? And I don't have anybody around to go, girl, no, he's crazy, you know. It's just me, you know. So I double my efforts to try to fix all this stuff, but really I'm just making myself sicker. And what, you know, the other, so what happened was, I'm very peaceful now, but I was not 7 years ago. I got angry again. That, like, I don't, you know, I don't know if it ever goes away. I feel like I've processed a lot of anger, you know, but you know, we were driving one day, it was real early in the morning too. I'm on the phone telling people, hey, have a great day, blah, blah, blah. Go to work and blah blah blah, and he cuts this girl off, and she obviously didn't like that, so she swerves and comes in front of us and jams on her brake and starts flipping us off and, you know, calling names, you know, calling me out of my name. I'm in the passenger seat, you know. And you know, she said not so nice things to me, called me the N-word, and you know, and I was like, okay, kind of just not, you know, and then he looks at me and he's like, you know, the old you would never have allowed for that to happen, you know, and I was like, ooh, just breathe, Christina, just breathe, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. I was like, listen, I just, take me home so we can go to work and blah, 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 you know, and then it's rush hour traffic, we end up on the same street, she's like, I'm going to kick your, and I was like, and then, like, I just, do you know where this is going? So she undid her seatbelt, and then I undid my seatbelt, and then, like, I blacked out. Like, I had a blackout rage moment. Apparently, I mean, I see pictures, you know, but, you know, I apparently threw her back in her car, and I was in her car. There was all kinds of whatever. And please, if there's anything that you hear tonight, do not get out of your car. It's not worth it, because it's just not. You know, I don't... I mean, so what happened, you know, so... We get broken up, and then, like, I'm just dissociated, you know, and I was like, let's go home, the plumber's there, so we leave the scene, you know, and, I mean, I'm originally from New York, so, you know, for me, it's like, it was a fight. We're done, you know. Apparently you can't just leave scenes of things like this, you know. And somebody had taken a picture of me. I was literally hanging out of her car. And, you know, I mean, it was just, it was so, I was just mortified, you know. I was just mortified, you know, that I had gone back to that place, you know. And I did a lot of work with Marion, because I was like, I had to do 190. First of all, I was in jail for a day and a half. So, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, I was like, but you got out of your car, you know. And I mean, through doing the step work over and over and over again, you know, it was like, you get out of your car, you put your hands on somebody, it doesn't matter, you know. And, you know, so I spent a day and a half in jail with him. And I remember, like, we were crossed, it was so damn cold in there. And I was just so angry that my life had gotten to this point. I had no idea, how did I get to this point? I'm sitting in jail, my son doesn't know where we're at because we're both in jail, you know. And, you know, and I have no answers to anything anymore. I am done, you know. And so we get out, and that's like when I started coming here, because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I actually don't even know who I am, you know, and I don't know how that happened. I felt like I'd done enough work and therapy and other, you know, other places that I had an idea, but I didn't. You know, I had once again given all of myself to somebody else, and I had nothing, you know. And there's a part of me again that was just like, I don't want to do this again. Because I felt like this is always going to be my lot in life, where I'm just, I can't ever get it right. Ever find the love and the peace that I want? Why am I here? Why? You know, and I came crawling in here, you know, and I had started doing, you know, we had moved from West Hollywood to Burbank, and that's quite a move. I remember just, you know, because I was like, we should go where the families are, because that'll be better, you know. And so I'm 2 blocks from Porto's, by the way. Not a good thing. Because I love to eat my feelings. And so I remember just sitting, like I was talking to my best friend, and I'm crying. She's like, what is wrong with you? I was like, there's this bike path, and there's all these people on bikes with matching helmets and shoes, and they're all just going together. And she's like, isn't that what you want? I was like, I don't know anymore. It was just a lot. It was really a lot to take from, yeah. Everything closed at 8 o'clock, and I'm like, I don't get it. I'm so confused right now. So confused. You know, and my son got a ticket the first week he was there. He was riding bikes with one of his friends, you know, and apparently there's this bike helmet law in there that you should have your helmet on. And I was like, okay, well, we're just batting 1,000. So 190 hours of community service. I'm sitting in this meeting, and, you know, I finally just, you know, I couldn't get past step one first, because step one was admitted I was powerless, you know. And for me, it was like whenever I exerted myself, if I yelled hard enough, if I withdrew my love long enough, then that person would stop what they were doing, you know. And so I felt like I had power, you know. And then, you know, it was just put to me, but does it ever last, you know? And I had to think about that, and I was like, no. You know, and, you know, I could definitely agree that my life was unmanageable, you know. And then, you know, I went the Friday night Barefoot Al-Anon group over there at Spirit Pathways was the one place. I mean, I walked into this place, and I was like, oh, I'm the only one in the room again. You know, it just, I mean, it is, when you're the only one in the room, you know, sometimes it's really difficult to know how to feel safe, you know. But when I walked into that room, and I heard the shares, and I heard my sponsor, I felt safe, you know. And it just proves to me, it's like, you know, we don't judge a book by its cover, you know. If you remain open, you know, you find the similarities, you know. And there was this healing that happened in that room, you know, with that group of just, they're so different. Everybody's so different and hilarious, you know. You would not, if you walked in there, you'd be like, what is, I'm not, okay. You know, it's not one of those meetings where if I had to, yeah, it was just, but I'm so grateful that I just sat down and I was just desperate enough to just do whatever I needed to do. And I remember listening to Marianne speak, you know, and I needed a sponsor, you know, and I went up there, I was like, can I please have your phone number? And she's like, yes, you know, and I called her and asked her if she would sponsor me, you know, and I'm pretty sure I was crying. My life sucks. I need somebody to help me really badly. And, you know, that's when, you know, that's for me when my life did start to change, you know. I have never been more nurtured. I've never been more loved. There's never been a moment where it's like, do it or die. You know, it was like, you go at your own pace, you know. And I, again, there was just a lot of confusion because I grew up with do it or die, you know, and I didn't trust it, you know. I didn't trust it for a very long time. And so I think that next year, my son had, you know, the things at home had gotten really bad. And to the point where I actually didn't feel safe, you know. And the breaking point for me was my kid. I was at work. My kid had called me. He was crying. He was like, I don't know what to do, you know. I don't know what his problem is, but he just yelled at me and took my Xbox and told me that I'm not supposed to be playing during the week, you know. And he's like, Mom, it's Saturday, you know. You know, and you know, he said, I'm scared, you know. And that's when I was just like, I'm scared. You know, I've been in this room long enough to hope for a miracle, you know, but you have to do the work, you know. He wasn't doing any work. So on, I think it was June 17th of, was it 5 years ago, I decided that I was going to file for divorce, you know. Just gonna file for divorce from this guy because my sanity and my kid's sanity. I had pretty much replicated my childhood, and I was like, I gotta break the cycle somehow. I have to. So I took my kid, and we went to a friend's house, and then I had him served, you know, and I remember sitting my son down and just being like, listen, I can't do this anymore with him. You know, we have to, like, you know, I told him, I'm like, I'm filing for divorce from your father, and, you know, and he, and where these other splits happen, he's like, Mom, he's like, you always fix everything. Why can't you fix this? And I was just like, I said, I can't, you know, because I can't control it. I didn't cause it. And, you know, it's up to him. He's got to do the work, you know. And that was not the answer that he wanted, you know. And I want, you know, it's like, I wanted to fix it too. So the next few months were pretty terrible. But what you guys taught me how to do was to act like a woman of grace and dignity. You showed me healthy ways to communicate. You know, I never once character assassinated him in front of my son. I never once, you know, called him out of his name. I didn't do that. You know, I did a lot of writing. And I spoke to my sponsor a lot. This, you know, man, you know, because he pulled some shenanigans, man. You know, it's like he was supposed to stay out of the house, and then he decided that he was not, and then he came back to the house one day and was like, I'm not leaving, you know. And so I had to get up and go to a friend's, slept on the couch, you know. And so, you know, we separated. And a week later, he decided that he would start going to Al-Anon meetings, you know. And I was like, that's a little too late, you know. I was really mad. So he started going to meetings, and, you know, I really wasn't talking to him. You know, I really wanted to put the focus on me, because I didn't want this. I didn't want to go through this again. I just didn't want to go through this again. I just didn't want to disappear in anybody's shadow again. I wanted to be able to find my own sense of self, my own sense of well-being, and be the woman that I feel like I was supposed to be, you know? And so, you know, I found my own little place, and by the grace of God, it was affordable for me. And, you know, I just remember one day just looking in my apartment and, like, and going to the store to buy stuff, you know, and I realized, like, I didn't even know what I liked, you know. So then I found the color purple. You know, I mean, anybody that knows. Anybody that knows me is like, my hair is usually more purple than this, but, you know, she went purple, just purple. I'm like, I find it, I like it, I stick with it. And so I started to ask myself these questions. Well, what do you like, Christina? You know, it's always been like, well, what do you think? What do you like? What do you like, Christina? And so the things, you know, things started to slowly change, you know, and I'd say, at a year, of my partner being sober, you know, like he came around and made amends to me, you know. And I remember talking to my sponsor, I was like, so he's supposed to make amends to me, right? And I was like, what if he doesn't do all of the amends that I think he should? Can I call him out? You know, and it was, you know, and again, it was like, Christina, just listen to him, and so I listened to him, and I mean, yes, there were a couple things that he did not say, you know, which I may or may not have pointed out later, but, you know, it was like, all of a sudden, him and I are starting to speak the same language. You know, I'm looking at this guy and then, you know, it's like, listen, it's a year, we need to, like, you know, what are we doing here? Are we in or out? You know, and, you know, again, through you guys, it was just like, why don't you guys go to therapy and talk and just try to figure out, you know, you work your way in the relationship or you work your way out, but at least do it healthy, you know, because, you know, in the back of my head always is my son, you know. I want my son to be able to have a better way of dealing with things than we did. I want to be able to pattern for him in the best way that we can, healthy communication, you know. And so we started going to therapy and I will just jump back before. We tried to go to therapy like years and years ago. We went to like this Maple Counseling Center. It's like a sliding scale. And they were like, you guys are too sick. It would not help us. We were too far gone. You know, but this guy was, you know, the therapist that we had was really great. And, you know, he said, can you look at this man as a new model, you know, and give it another chance. You know, and what I always say now is that, you know, what alcoholism destroyed, you know, the 12 steps, you know, kind of gave life back to us, you know. So, you know, we went to therapy for a year, you know, and at about 2.5 years, we decided that we would try it again. And our families don't do that. You know, we don't try again. You know, when it's done, it's done. Like, I have people in my family that haven't talked to each other for 20 years. They don't even remember why. They just are pissed. You know, and I'm like, do you know why you're not talking? No. And I'm like, you know, so here, you know, here we are. A new, like, new us, you know, and I've worked really diligently on doing the work here, doing the step work. I did a thorough 4-step, and, you know, because I want to live my life differently, you know, because I know that I have value today, and I want to be happy, you know, and I want to be free. You know, and I want to help others. I want to save everybody. Sometimes I do, but you know, it's a slip, and I get right back. You know, but I really do. I do want to do things differently. You know, and that's what you guys have taught me to do. You know, and you know, my son today, you know, it's like he's in college. You know, we have conversations. And he's a healthy kid. He's obnoxious, you know. But I mean, look at us. You know, we're pretty, you know, like Saban. We're very much in that in that mode. So, you know, I think I have a little bit of time left, but what I will say today is this disease affects everyone, you know. And I also believe that this program affects everyone if you do the work. You know, it has been the most challenging thing that I've ever done, being in these rooms, keeping the focus on myself. And you know, I have an answer for everything. I have some control issues that I've worked on diligently. You know, I think if you just do it my way, it's the best way. You know, and I mean, I still kind of think that way today, but I know better now. You know, and you know, I really learned to take it easy on myself. I found a lot of forgiveness. My mother and I have a different relationship than we did before. You know, I still grieve at times. You know, it's like my life right now is really good, and she's not safe enough to share it with. She's just not, you know. And so sometimes I grieve, you know, that I can't tell her what's going on, because I never know what I'm going to get from her, you know. But the beautiful thing is I have a chosen family, you know, and my chosen family, I bring that stuff to, and they just like, yes, girl, you know. They really cheer me, and it's real, you know. And I feel safe. I feel loved, and I feel connected. You know, I really, my higher power has, you know, like, I've forgiven my father, I've forgiven my mother, I've forgiven myself, you know, I've forgiven him. You know, it's like, I have found forgiveness in this program by doing the work here, you know. And if you're new, just stay, you know. You will find a new sense of yourself if you just keep on staying in these seats and finding other people that have what you want and doing the work. So thank you.